Welcome to the Dirty Lazy Girl podcast. I'm Stephanie Laska, best-selling author and creator of Dirty Lazy Keto.
And I'm Tamara Snezik, professor of sociology. We believe there are many paths, often unconventional, to achieve your goals. But we get stuck thinking we have to follow experts and fixed set of rules.
Well, as the leader of the Dirty Lazy Keto Facebook support group with over 200,000 members, I see people are hungry for a fresh approach, not just for weight loss, but to help live their very best life. Season 2 of the Dirty Lazy Girl podcast will provide lifestyle advice, lots of fun support, and practical tips to help you at home. Because you know what? You don't have to be perfect to be successful. Join us.
Stephanie, today we're talking about the ways in which weight can hold us back. And I have to admit, I feel super vulnerable talking about this because I let my weight stand in the way of doing things. This is an issue for me. In fact, Stephanie, I got a little depressed writing up this episode because it was like, there's just too many areas in my life that this affects. And I know I'm going to talk about it honestly because I know other women out there. I'm sorry, I'm getting choked up. I did not mean to do that. So let me keep it together. Okay, so I know other women have the same issue. Like, you go out in public and it stops you from doing the things that you want to do because you feel like, I'm going to be the fattest person in the room, or I'm going to, you know, people are going to think I'm ugly, or they won't want to hang out with me, or they're going to treat me differently because of my weight. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. We're just going to hit this head on. Okay, Stephanie? Are you with me, girlfriend?
I'm with you, girlfriend. And first of all, we are going to be honest and we're going to be vulnerable and we're going to share some personal stories.
Yeah.
I don't want that to hold us back. Because like you said, I think there's a lot of women out there that feel the same way as we do. And no matter what weight you are, that's the interesting thing about this topic. It's not about weight loss. It's not about how much you weigh. It's about how you feel inside.
It is.
So, Tamara, I just want to acknowledge the fact that every woman listening, no matter how heavy they are, no matter how thin they are, I think every single woman listening feels that they can identify with the story that you just shared. I mean, I think about so many times in my life where I've lost weight, gained it back, lost weight, gained it back. Didn't matter what size I was, I always expected something magical to happen where I thought, well, if I only got to, you know, size X, then I wouldn't be afraid of doing things. Or if I only was size Y, then, you know, I'd have more confidence. So I just want to acknowledge the fact that that's pretty common for all of us. I'm thinking about a very specific story. It was about 10 years ago. We were renting a boat. We were on a summer vacation and it was like 105 degrees outside. And I was so hot. I weighed probably close to 300 pounds. I was in a swimsuit, but when all the kids were taking turns to get in, you know, out of the boat, out of the boat, into the lake and jumping on the raft to do like tubing, I freaked out and I panicked and I didn't want to do it because I was terrified that I wouldn't be able to pull myself onto the raft. I was terrified I wouldn't be able to get in and out of the boat. I would have to use a ladder or my upper strength. And I didn't do it. So for the whole day, it was 105 degrees and I was sweating. And I just remember it was the most miserable day of my life. My kids still talk about what a great day it was. And I'm like, no, for me, it was horrible because my weight got in the way. I couldn't get past it.
Yeah. I think, you know, just a quick example from in my current life is when I'm teaching and people think, well, you know, you're just passing on knowledge. Like, what does your looks have to do with it? But I get self-conscious. I think a lot of us teachers do because we've got 30 students staring at us for 2 hours. And I think, oh, I'm going to reach up on the chalkboard and write. And I'm like, oh, is my arm jiggling, you know, or am I out of breath because I just ran to the classroom? Like things like that I get really self-conscious. But obviously it doesn't stop me from teaching, but I think it does stifle my joyful, free kind of personality because I do have a joyful, goofy, fun personality. I hope I do. But a lot of times I think it stifles that because I'm worried about, you know, oh my gosh, do I look this way or that way in front of the classroom? And it's no way to live. I mean, I don't want to be held back from being like my joyful, fun self.
Right. Oh, I'm with you, Tamara. I think this is something that we could really spend a whole episode on.
For sure. And I think we've tried to come up with some strategies. I'm going to say we've got six great strategies to help tackle what's actually in our way. And Stephanie, I think what's actually in our way is our own selves, right?
Ain't that the truth, girlfriend? Yes. I mean, we always want to blame it on somebody else, but the truth is really it's deep inside. So before we get started with our six strategies, because we want to help our listeners, you know, move past whatever might be stopping them or some different strategies to try.
Yeah.
So before we get started, I just want to remind everybody that today's episode is brought to you. It's sponsored by the Dirty Lazy Keto Dirt Cheap Cookbook. It's 100 easy recipes to help you save money and time. And what's very special about this book in particular is that every recipe is under $10 to make. That's for the whole recipe. Plus, as with all of the recipes in the Dirty Lazy Keto Cookbook, every dish is 10 grams net carbs or less. So you can order this wherever you like to shop for books.
Thanks, Stephanie. I'm excited for that book.
It's so fun because, you know, I'm super cheap. So I love to share and talk about money and time.
And I also think, too, with keto, sometimes you get in a rut of eating the same thing over and over again. So it's just exciting to have new cooking ideas and cheap at that. So I can't wait.
Well, thanks.
Okay, so let's start with our first strategy, which is what's the worst that can happen?
Well, I know this sounds kind of weird, like play out the fear, right? But honestly, though, when you're ruminating, like for me, let's talk about that boating example. If I had just kind of played that out a little bit, what? Okay, so let's say I couldn't jump on the raft to do the tubing. So what? You know what I mean? Like what? Is my like five-year-old going to laugh at me? Is that so bad? Or would my husband maybe have to help me up? Is that so bad? I don't know. Like sometimes like playing out your fear might make it less scary.
And also, as I always say on other episodes, the best thing can happen too. You could actually get into the boat. Maybe you underestimated yourself. So yeah, play out the worst case scenario and then play out the best case scenario. And I think what you'll find is that you can handle either one. And also sometimes too, sometimes you need to think of the worst case scenario because it can have a really negative effect if you don't, if you hold yourself back. The example I'm thinking of is I have a friend who recently got a knee injury and she was telling me how much she dreaded going to the doctor. In fact, she wasn't going to go. So, cause she knew the doctor would say, well, if you weren't so heavy, right? Like blame her knee injury on her heaviness. So she was avoiding it altogether. But in that case, she needed to think about the worst case scenario, which is she could severely damage her knee because she's not getting treatment for it. So in this case, you know, she needs that to motivate her to actually just overcome the fear or just deal with any shame that she might feel about it, or even that the doctor puts on her because it's not worth the cost of her knee and her health.
Right. The cost is like far exceeding the benefit it can go both ways. And I forget about playing out the positive. So I appreciate that you remind me. I never do that. I'm always like negative, but you're right. I mean, saying the positive, like, you know what? I could get on that freaking raft and worst case I'd cool off in the lake because it was so damn hot.
Yeah.
Right. Like there's a lot of positives sometimes that can come out from playing out your fears.
Yes. And I think we blow up how embarrassing it's going to be. And it's actually not that embarrassing. I remember, this reminded me of a story. I was dating this guy and he was this big.
Ooh, Tamara's getting crazy talking about her dating history. Okay, let's hear it. Go ahead.
He was quite handsome and tall. Okay. He was a tall, like 6'4" dude, right?
Okay.
Big guy. And we were doing water skiing and the boat couldn't pull him up. Like literally, and I was sitting there, I'm like, oh my God, he must feel mortified. He wasn't a bit, obese. He was just tall and big. Like,
he was
tall,
dark, and handsome.
He was. So, and I remember thinking, you know, if you were a heavy person, you would totally shame yourself for that. And actually it's an issue for tall people or people who just, there's just some people who get up easier when they water ski than others. And yet I think we take on it as a, you know, like, oh my God, they're going to think I'm horrible. I'm so fat and horrible. When actually that may not be the case at all.
Yeah. No, I'm with you on that one. It's like we kind of have a tape we play in our head and we may convince ourselves it's weight related and no one else is even caring or thinking. So good tip.
Yeah.
What's another strategy our listeners can try?
Well, the second one we have is to say your fears out loud. And I always find that that diminishes whatever fear it is, right? Your feelings of insecurity. Like this episode, just talking about it, Stephanie, I know is going to help me tremendously because it's getting it out there. Sometimes, like you said, when it becomes so big in your head, but if you say it out loud,
it almost becomes up. Like kind of ridiculous. You're like, seriously, yeah. I was that hot and I was almost passing out because I was so sweating to death, but I wouldn't even get in the lake. Like,
It's crazy.
Really? Yeah. You start to kind of put it in perspective a little bit.
Yeah. So say the fear out loud to yourself or call your best friend or whoever, or write it in a journal and just say, look, I don't want to go on this backpacking trip because I'm afraid I'm going to be holding everybody back because I'm going to be so slow. And then the whole backpacking crew is going to be mad at me. And then you say that out loud and you're like, okay, that's kind of ridiculous. There's always a slow person hiking. It's like not a big deal. It happens.
Yeah. You know, I'm thinking of something which it actually, I'm not going to cry. So I'm going to take it. But I remember when I was about to have surgery, you know, I talk about this in the book and Dirt Lazy Keto Get Started, but I was about to have surgery. And I remember the oncologist calling me because they needed to know how much I weighed, like for the table, or maybe it was the MRI or something. It was like, they needed to know how much I weighed, Tamara. And I was in the car with my family, and I don't know about you, but I don't really say my weight like to people, especially when my weight was, I don't know. I just never say my weight. Like, let's just be real. There's never a time where I want to tell anyone my weight. Yeah. Today, yesterday, last month, 10 years ago. But I remember them asking me my weight and I didn't want to tell them.
And what's going to happen if you say it out loud?
I don't know, but I needed to tell the lady on the phone. I remember saying this and I don't know why this hit home, but I remember saying to the lady, I feel panicked that you're asking me this question. I don't know what's involved. I don't know why you want to know this, but it's making me very upset. And I don't really want to say this in front of my family. Can I call you back?
Wow.
And I know. And I was so proud of myself. But when I said that out loud, it changed everything for me. It changed the insecurity I felt, the anxiety, the stress. Yeah. So it does work.
Yeah.
The strategy. It does work.
Yeah. And also, it could, you know, you can might help find a solution too. Like, you know, like I just thought of a friend and I went to go get a spa treatment. This is a couple of years ago and I was heavier at the time. And I remember panicking like that robe isn't going to fit. You know how they give you those robes?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. And hospital gowns too. I've had those where they don't wrap around and my booty's hanging out the back. It's horrible. And when you have to ask for a different size.
Yeah. And I did. And I said it to my friend. I was like fearing it and going to like imagining the embarrassment when they,
You're imagining the worst.
So but I said it out loud to my friend. I said, and she was worried too.
She's like, well, isn't that funny that here you were worried, but when you said it out loud, it turns out your friend felt the same way.
We were both worried. And I said to her, well, maybe we can call ahead and say, do you have extra large gowns? And we went to their website and it turns out they had a little thing on their website about that. And I was like, oh my God, we felt much better. So not only did saying it out loud make us feel better, but we actually led to a solution together.
It's such a positive story.
Yeah.
But saying it out loud, sometimes it just makes that anxiety go away. Who knew? It doesn't solve the problem, but it makes it feel a hell of a lot better.
It does.
On the flip side, Tamara, I have a third idea, which is kind of random. And I know I've said this before about different topics, but I sometimes think it's okay to just be completely secretive about your feelings. I don't know. Why do I have to tell everybody how I'm feeling? Do I have to say it out loud? Maybe I could write it down instead. Maybe I could do something more in private. I know you like painting. Or you could write a story or do something, yoga. There's different ways to process your feelings that are quiet and personal.
Yeah. And so it's like, it sounds like we're contradicting ourselves. Hey, say it out loud, be secretive. But I think
they're different strategies, right? I mean, the same strategy is going to work for everybody.
No, or for every situation. Mm-hmm. Like for me, I know early on in the podcast, I talked about my fear of wearing sleeveless shirts. And that was one that I just kept that to myself. And I think I dealt with that internally first. And that helps. I think it has to start inside anyway. Sometimes you don't even acknowledge to yourself yeah. that you're feeling shame or you're scared or you're nervous or anxious. So part of that is just letting yourself feel the feelings first.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's true. And I know, I'm just thinking a little bit about during my weight loss journey, Tamara, when I was changing, I had to get new clothes because I went down 11 sizes. But it gave me the opportunity to try out different feelings about how I looked and how I felt about myself. And I would go to the Goodwill, to the thrift store, and buy my new clothes every time I'd gone down a size. And I would, you know, start trying on maybe a little bit more fitted clothing, like sexy clothes, if you want to know the truth. I bought some leopard pants.
Nice.
The leopard pants did not go over well, but, and I had leather pants. I mean, I was like, I didn't know who I was anymore, but I didn't wear these clothes out like on the town, but I started wearing them around the house. I tried on new looks because I needed to figure out who I was and maybe feel better about myself. So sometimes yeah. you can do things in secret. Or, you know, in the privacy of your own home.
Just to get used to it. Mm-hmm. I think that's, you could do that with your sexy lingerie and bras and underwear too, right? Just wear them under your clothes so that you're in public, but nobody knows. So you can get the feeling of, you know,
adjusted. And no one has to see them, right? Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like you can start at home or underneath or, you know, ease into it and figure out how you feel about it first before you're heading out to the beach or, you know, out on a hot date.
Exactly. And our next number four step is kind of along those lines, which is to take baby steps. So once you're comfortable with it inside, don't just rush out, you know, into a, to your most, you know, anxious situation.
Nightmare, your scariest situation.
Your class,
you don't have to rush into it.
Your class reunion. That's like the scariest, you know.
Right, the wedding. You don't have to wear that sleeveless dress to the wedding or whatever it is you're stressed about. Yeah.
Instead, take baby steps, like you said, maybe at home, and then maybe just run to the store. That's what I did with the sleeveless, actually. I ran to the store in it a few times, and I was hyper self-conscious, and then I would do that, my errands and stuff. And then eventually I wore it to my workout. And then after a while, I just forgot that that I was upset about it. So yeah
it's funny you laugh, but it's a big deal. I mean, I can feel the emotion in your voice. Cause for you, that was a serious issue. And it was scary to even talk about on the podcast.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I wouldn't laugh over yourself. I think you've come a long way and I'm really proud of you. And
Thank
I think
you.
That's great advice to start at your house and then start with a couple of workouts. And then before
take
you know
it. Slow.
Take it slow. I know we talked a little bit about swimsuits recently. Mm-hmm. And I want to share a story with you, Tamara. When I was losing weight, I remember my husband saying, oh, you should get a bikini. And I was like, what? no, right? Like I have a lot of loose skin. I mean, I'm sure I don't really want to show anybody, but it made me feel really self-conscious. And we had my 40th birthday planned for Las Vegas coming up. And my husband thought, oh, you should wear a bikini and we'll go to a pool party and it's going to be great. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know about that. Like I'm not young and I'm not fit and I'm not fit. And all those voices started coming back in my head. And I'm like, wait a minute, I'm not going to feel any differently just because I turned 40 or just because I've lost weight. I need to work on that. Like, today at home and do baby steps. So Tamara, I went to Walmart. When you first walk in, they have those $3 bins of swimsuits mm-hmm. in separates, and they're not fancy. They're just separates. And I bought a red bikini, a string bikini. It was $3 for the top and $3 for the bottom. I know, right? I have pictures of me in it. And I wore it under my clothes for a while. And then after I got more comfortable, I wore it in my backyard. And I kind of eased into it. And I didn't look, you know, like I was 20. I looked my age and I had lots of loose skin and weird things going on and scars. But I felt really freaking good about myself by the time I got to Las Vegas in that damn swimsuit. I felt really good. And I actually put a picture of it on the website under the birthday article on
keto.com.
At the pool party, thank you very much, in Las Vegas, in a hot pink swimsuit.
That's awesome.
Really did. I did. With all the young people, and there is me. And I didn't care. I was so happy.
That's awesome. I'm not there quite yet, but I hope to be.
Girl, today, tank tops, tomorrow, bikini.
I know.
That's how it works, right? I mean, it's nothing to do with the weight. That's the great surprise about this podcast.
Yeah. It's all
nothing to do with the weight. It's all in the head.
And I think part of it too is like, I have to remind myself, I'm thinking people are all staring at me and thinking these negative thoughts, but they don't care.
Most people do not care.
No, they don't.
They're not looking at us.
They're thinking about themselves. Like,
or they're looking at like the hot, whatever, 22-year-old that walked by. No one's looking at me. The old lady with like the crazy hairdo.
I know. Like my self-consciousness about my students. Like they just want their A grade and to pass the class. And right. I'm like this, you know, motherly figure to them.
Or not.
But they don't, honestly, that's not where their time and energy is going. It's yeah. like, how am I in the class? How am I being perceived by the professor? Not the other way around.
Yeah, they're like, is she going to call on me next? Like, crap, I didn't do the reading. I didn't do the homework. Do people know? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We get so caught up in our head about things. And really, no one's looking at like our, you know, bingo arms. No one's looking at our scars when we wear a swimsuit. They're not. They're worried about themselves and what they're up to.
And our next strategy, number 5, might help with that, which is to get social. And that can mean different things. It could be surrounding yourself with supportive people who aren't superficial and aren't negative, judgy, you know, people who are very body accepting and love you for who you are. So surround yourself with those people. And that's another way to do baby steps, is maybe start with the bikini in your house and then go out with some really supportive, fun friends who will make you feel comfortable, or to a place where the, you know, the surroundings are very accepting. What are some other ways, Stephanie, that we can get social and use our social environment to help us?
Well, I think joining positive body websites and social groups. I know a lot of people feel that way about the Facebook group, dirtylazyketo.com. I saw a beautiful lady who had lost, I mean, she's a beautiful young lady, and posted a photo of her at the beach today. And she said it was the first time she's ever shown her legs at the beach. And there was like 2,000 positive comments. And this young lady is not real thin. She's, you know, on her journey. But the fact that she was feeling good about herself and getting out there, and just the positive, supportive community and encouragement from others, it just made me feel really proud about the group that I found.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of great websites out there. I know for running, because I also used to feel really self-conscious about running as a bigger person. But there's like Myrna Valero, she has a running, it's called Running Fat Girl. And then there's another really positive body image runner called Running Fat Chef. Those are two great sites that make you feel really good about exercising. Cause I know exercise is often another area where people feel self-conscious about their body. So find those like Instagram people, cause there are a lot of them out there. I mean, our hero, like Oprah, right? She's one who's doing all these things really, and her weight's up, down, but she's always out there, you know, presenting herself in a positive way. By the way,
go ahead and call us. We are available, Oprah, if you would like to come on the podcast.
Love you, Oprah.
Love you, Oprah. Stephanie Laska, Laska. Call me.
Yes. And also, Stephanie, the reverse is true too. If people around you are negative and critical,
cut them. Yeah. Cut them. Get rid of them.
Seriously, unfriend.
Unfriend. Get rid of them. Unfollow, or, whatever.
Yeah. Don't go to those friends and family's houses if you don't have to, you know? Like, if they're making fat comments, cut them out.
Cut them out.
Or tell them off.
But I know it's hard when they're family, though. I mean, I remember.
It's hard.
Being with a family member and having her or him or her, I won't say who, making a comment about me when I was wearing a swimsuit, like, oh, you should do some sit-ups and you'll tighten that up. And I'm like, F you, lady, man, person. Like, I don't need your feedback about how I look in a swimsuit. I don't need your approval. So it's okay to cut those people. And if they're family, just reduce the amount of time you spend with them.
Yeah, exactly.
That's keeping it real.
Yeah.
Number 6.
Take mini adventures.
I know this one sounds fun. You get to get out and do something crazy. But I really do think that we should focus on what we can do and not what we can't.
Right.
You know, in terms of letting weight hold you back, instead of focusing on like, oh, my weight doesn't qualify me to go bungee jumping or something. Well, what can you do? Like, can you go hiking? And how far? Like, focusing on the positive of where you're at in your life, in terms of your age and your health, I think that's really positive.
I think there are so many things, and we get overly focused on the things we can't do. Like you said, like parachuting or ziplining. Ziplining is one of those where I'm always like, I'm borderline, you know, I don't know if I'm going to make it in. And so why do I have to go ziplining? Like there's so many adventurous, fun things to do, you know, exploring caves or hiking, like you said, or, I mean, the field is wide open. We can go dancing, clubbing, whatever, golf, it doesn't matter, but there are a gazillion things we can do. So yeah, you know, don't focus on those things that you can't and leap towards those that you can, and they will make you feel good about yourself, and that you feel good doing, so that you come away going, wow, that was so fun, I feel so healthy.
Because it's a journey, right? I mean, again, I said this earlier, but like losing weight, you don't like magically say, oh, I've lost 50 pounds, now my life is perfect and I can go do all these things that I've always wanted to do. Like the reality is that doesn't happen. Your attitude, your beliefs about yourself, they don't magically change just because the number on the scale does. And in fact, I would argue the excitement and the magic is really along the way. Just on my own journey of losing weight, I remember I'd lost about 50 pounds, 45, 50 pounds. And for the first time, I could buy a pair of boots. And I'm talking about normal boots, not the stretchy kind, but it was the first time I could get boots that went over my calf. So for me, that was a huge deal. And I was so excited. I remember I paid a lot of money for these boots and I didn't even like them. It was just the fact that they fit. And they're cowboy boots, and I'm not like a cowboy person, but whatever. I wore them all the time. I freaking love those boots. But then when I lost about 100 pounds, I qualified to go horseback riding, and I hadn't been able to do that in, you know, decades. So for me, then it was like building up. It's like first today boots, tomorrow horseback riding, you know, and then later on in my journey, it was like hiking to the top of mountains in Yosemite. It's like little things built as my journey went along that made me feel more capable. So yeah. I would say just build little mini adventures. I mean, who knew I could climb to the top of like Bridal Falls? That's yeah. crazy. But it yeah. started with buying a pair of boots.
Yeah. And that gave you I guess you need the confidence. And how do you get confidence? It doesn't just happen. You have to build it. So you yes. start with what you can do.
Yes.
And do it and feel proud of it. And then, you know, build up to the next thing. I mean, don't jump too early. Like, don't take adventures right. that you know are going to be failures. Find adventures that are, you know, are going to be successful and going to make you feel good. And then, like you said,
it's the mini adventures. I mean, even just trying on the boots, I remember it was a big deal. Yeah. Just the day I tried them on and then they fit. And yeah. who would have thought, like, I wasn't anywhere. I was still like, you know, way over 200 pounds mm-hmm. and I didn't look like a thin person. I didn't look like someone who'd be off like climbing to the top of a mountain. Mm-hmm. So yeah, these little tiny adventures, these mini adventures, mm-hmm. you know, playing around a golf, like walking 1,000 steps, running up this or walking up the stairs instead of taking the elevator. Those are the confidence builders that yeah. that lead us to greater adventures.
I remember I was heavier and I'd finished my first half marathon and they were handing out medals and the medal person goes, oh, you did the 5K. And I know they assumed I did the slow race, but you know what? I took it as a moment of pride. I'm like, no, I finished the half marathon. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you very much,
sir. Yes. Or ma'am.
And I could have felt horrible about that comment, like that assumption, but instead I'm like, no, I'm going to just be proud of that. I did this awesome thing, despite the fact that I was probably had to work twice as hard as some of the really tiny runners running out there beside me. So, you know, that was an adventure that I knew I could do. It stretched me, but also I could do it and then just take pride of it. Even though you may find that you're surrounded by people who are negative, sometimes like you can't help that the person makes assumptions about you. But rather than just soaking it in and letting it get you down, just turn it around and, you know, focus on how great you did. You have to, like, you can't get rid of all the idiots and jerks. You just have to inside decide you're going to focus on how great you are.
And you are awesome, by the way.
You too. Thank you. So I'm really curious what our audience has to say. I know you guys have a lot because I've seen on Facebook some of the stories they tell about, you know, their fears and anxiety. So we want to hear how this topic resonates for you. So tell us your story by emailing Stephanie at dirtylazyketo.com or via Facebook or Instagram at dirtylazyketo. Before we get to our final hacks, let's stop and take one last quick break.
Awesome. Thank you, Tamara. Well, as a reminder, today's episode is brought to you by the newest member of the Dirty Lazy Keto family. And this is the Dirty Lazy Keto Dirt Cheap Cookbook. It's published by Simon & Schuster. It's full of tips and tricks to save big money while cooking your way to weight loss. I believe keto shouldn't be expensive and it should not require special ingredients. So let me help you get started. You can order at dirtylazyketo.com/books.
Thanks, Stephanie. So let's wrap it up by giving our personal hacks. And I will go first. I suggest everyone give your body a compliment every day. I guess this is part of the staying private and a baby step where you start on the inside and it sounds ridiculous and silly and you'll feel silly doing it, but try it. Because if you just one compliment per day, after a while, if you keep on it, you'll start to believe. It makes it easier to believe. So today, I am thankful for my muscular legs, Stephanie, that allowed me to take my dog on a long walk. In fact, my dog almost collapsed because I outwalked her today.
Tamara, you are awesome. And Tamara and I often run into each other at like 5:30 in the morning out walking or running, which is pretty awesome. So you are fabulous. I like that strategy. My hack today is that, if I feel like my weight is starting to hold me back from doing something important and I can hear that little voice kind of like, trying to talk me out of it, I try to flip it and think about the benefits of going ahead and doing it anyway. So really trying to focus on the outcome. And I'm thinking about a recent story. I was at my son's baseball banquet. And it was like a picnic for parents. This was before all of the quarantine, obviously. But I remember the coach had asked the parents to volunteer to play a game against the kids. So parents against the kids. And none of the parents volunteered. They all were like looking the other way and like hiding and looking down, especially the moms, I noticed. Absolutely not one of the mothers wanted to participate. And I get that. I mean, I was feeling anxious too, because I'm not very athletic. I'm uncoordinated. I was worried I would strike out. I worried I couldn't catch the ball or run fast enough. I mean, I just totally panicked. But then I looked at my son and his eyes were big and he's staring at me and I could tell he wanted me to participate. Like, come on, mom, raise your hand. So before I could stop myself, I rose my hand. I volunteered to play. I was the only mom out there. And my son was so proud of me. And I did drop the ball and I didn't run fast enough and I did get out, but I also hit the ball and started screaming on top of my lungs because I was so excited. My son was so excited. And it was probably one of the best moments that I've had with my son. He was so proud of me and none of that would have happened if I hadn't have talked myself into it.
I love that story.
It's one of my happiest moments. So yeah, I forget about that. I have to remind myself.
Well, what's the bigger message, Stephanie? You always put it in the best perspective. So what should we take away from all this?
Well, the truth for our listeners, we want you to walk away that the magic happens along your journey. None of this is going to happen at some, future weight loss goal. It's the journey. It's the little things, the little steps along the way of you being brave and believing in yourself. And we just want you to walk away with that. There's a whole big world out there. It's just waiting to be discovered. Don't let your weight stop you from experiencing all that life has to offer.
And if you're enjoying the Dirty Lazy Girl podcast, show your support by leaving a review. And here's how you do it. On your iPhone, you select the purple podcast icon. And then using the search tool, type in Dirty Lazy Girl. Click on the thumbnail to open it. And then scroll down, you'll see ratings and reviews and click on the stars and select 5 stars. Scroll down and select leave a review and then type in your review and hit okay. We appreciate all your reviews.
Can I read you one that I printed out here, Tamara?
Yes, please do.
This is from, I love how you suggested they all leave 5 stars. So thank you. She's yes. Like, and now you leave 5 stars.
Yes, I wasn't even
There's
subtle.
No other choice. Thank you, Tamara. Okay. So this is from Abby, one of our great listeners and in the United States. And Abby says, 5 stars, great support and suggestions. You're not alone. I found this, the Facebook group and even the books to be very enjoyable and relatable. So relatable. Sometimes I wonder if Stephanie and Tamara knows me and my family based on their stories.
Aw.
Thank you, my dear. Thank you, Abby. We appreciate you.
Love you.
We'll see everybody next week.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Dirty Lazy Girl podcast.
And don't forget to visit DirtyLazyKeto.com, where you can join the conversation and gain access to all kinds of free content to help you on your Dirty Lazy journey.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, consider supporting us by subscribing, rating, and reviewing us on Apple Podcasts.
Be sure to stay tuned for our next Dirty Lazy Girl podcast, where we give you even more tips and support.
You don't have to be perfect to be successful.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.